Welcome to the Smiling Homeschooler Podcast. My name is Ben Wilson, and this week we are talking about what to expect after graduation. Our role as parents doesn't end the minute our children graduate, so we discuss if you should allow your children to live with you until a certain age, if you should pressure them to get a job, go to college, or pay you rent. And these ideas are important and relevant whether you have kids that are about to graduate or you're just starting your homeschooling journey. Before we begin, we just want to say thank you to Teaching Textbooks for helping make the Smiling Homeschooler possible. They're an amazing math curriculum. Our family loves using them, and we'd encourage you to check them out over at teachingtextbooks.com. Also, thank you to Homeschooling Today magazine for supporting what we do. They're another amazing source of encouragement, so go subscribe to their magazine over at homeschoolingtoday.com. But all right, let's get going. Here's my dad, Todd Wilson.
Well, the words that kind of typify my life right now, and I'll give you bonus points if you can tell me which holiday classic is this line from. Busy, busy, busy. We'll ask Ben at the end of the show if he knows where that's from. I hope he does.
I definitely know what it is from, but okay. I was kind of taken aback initially because I thought it was from Wonderful Life. But
No, don't say anything right now.
It's not.
Because that's my go-to.
Yeah. That's what I mean. If it wasn't from that, I didn't know you were going to bring something up.
Yeah, but there you go. But we just got back from the homeschool convention in Spokane, Washington this past weekend, and we're getting ready to leave tomorrow for the big gold conference down in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. It is Tennessee, right? Tennessee.
Yep.
The Teach Them Diligently. It's going to be a great, great lineup. Lots of people there. Again, it's not too late. They always have like these deadlines, and they start out like 2 years in advance.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is the last day to get it. I think they're running the same things today. So I think today is the last day you can get a special deal. But if you're in the area, I know there was a mom who on Facebook said she's super excited because this is going to be her first homeschool conference. And I told her, make sure you come up and say hey.
Yeah.
But I'm always interested. If you went to a conference this year for the first time, you should contact me. I would like to maybe have you on our show. Record it for next year just to see what you thought. Maybe we'll have several people who'll do it. But yeah. I think it'd be kind of a fun thing. So,
and also just encouragement, make sure you do say hi. I mean, I know sometimes people think, oh, they're busy or whatever else it may be, but it's always fun for us and encouraging for dad, you know, to meet.
We're just normal people like you. I mean,
yeah, I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, definitely. And that's the cool thing, again, about homeschooling conventions is you get to meet the people who are doing it, and they're all just people who are homeschoolers just like you. So it's super.
They're worse than you. They're worse
yeah,
than you.
Seriously. At least Andrew Pudua. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he's perfect.
Yeah. He can do like 400 push-ups.
Yeah, quiz him
time,
on some of those. Yeah. Yeah. While quoting Aristotle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like one of those guys that you do just feel like about 10 times dumber when you're around him. You know, he's like, you know, his bathroom reading is, yeah, the Odyssey or something like that. But
yeah.
All right.
That's probably true.
So I was thinking, though, because, you know, graduation time is nigh. We are close for any of those who do have older kids. But, you know, you might just be starting out, and that's fine, too, because eventually you're going to be there and it will go fast, even if the days seem long. But something is relevant, I think, especially for you, Dad. But I think just honestly, as a whole country, it's. We're seeing a lot of it is kids are graduating, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean they're just gone. I mean, it used to be that I feel like sometimes people would say the old thing, like once they're 18, they're, you know, they're on their own, but I don't think you would say that. And that's kind of honestly, some of my questioning here is, you know, kind of does your role as a parent and as a, you know, potentially now former homeschooler, once they hit that graduation, day, what does the role look like after that, and some of the guiding? Because, I mean, you've got, like, I don't know, 7 kids still living with you. No, I'm just kidding. But it's a couple kids. So what do you think? How do you think that looks?
It's not their kids. It's their grandkids. It's their kids.
That's right. My kids live there now.
We just had Sam's oldest son, Cohen, and we brought him back from the basketball game. And we're like, oh, your daddy's going to be here. And he's like, don't want to go.
Yeah. Who's daddy?
I said, you want to live with us? Yes.
Yeah. It's like John and Jane, John and Michael, when they're like, aren't you our mother?
Yeah, that's right.
But no, what I mean,
are
so
you
what
being held captive?
But I mean, obviously, what? You're not done being a parent at 18. And honestly, I mean, now being past that, 18 doesn't seem very old. So what do you think? Do you think your role changes after the day of graduation, or do you think it's pretty much the same? You know, I guess, what are your initial thoughts to that idea?
Well, my initial thoughts are, I mean, there is no arbitrary number. You know, it's not like graduating that they, yeah. But I know people who've said, tell me now. You know, at 18, they have to be out. You know, they're going to be out. They have to get a job. They have to go to college, or they have to get, you know, all the above. I'm just not thinking that, honestly, and I'll be harsh here. I don't think it's a very wise course of action. You know, some of our kids just aren't ready to be out. I don't even know if it's a safe place to be out, you know, just to say, oh, I'm going to turn you out on your own and hope it turns out for you. You know, I think home's still a great place for your kids. Even as they're young adults, you know, if they're contributing, if they're not just sitting on the couch playing Minecraft every day, you know, going, Mom, can you give me another bag of Doritos? You know, I mean, if that's the case, maybe you need to help them grow up a little bit. But home's still a good place to do training, because otherwise, then you're done. Your influence is hindered. So I'm not going to use that graduation mark as the race they're running to, so that when they cross the line, then they've achieved something. So, you know, and again, that's all arbitrary. It wasn't that way for the longest time. Maybe they did get married younger, and even then, they stayed usually in their homes, you know, with their new brides. So,
which dad is not suggesting. Home is a good place, even for you and your future spouse, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that. In case any of my kids are listening, exactly. I'm not listening. But I do think.
Ike tried, but you know, you kicked him out finally.
I did try. We finally, yes. We had to burn down the barn, but we did get rid of him.
Totally. I mean, because, yeah, I mean, 18, I mean, I feel like what you've done a little bit is what makes sense more than a specific number. And I think it's very clear that it's not enablement. You're not just allowing, you know, laziness or no progression. I mean, because obviously the goal is not just to have a bunch of kids who just live with you forever. I mean, that is, you know, despite how maybe you would enjoy that, and every parent might like that, at least for a time, you know, I mean, there are commands, you know, for a man to leave,
right,
you know, kind of deal, and a woman. But mm-hmm. So I do think obviously that's pretty clear.
Well,
but
I'll even say, hold on, before you ask that question, I think the comment that you said is right on. It just feels natural,
right.
You know, it's a natural, you know, I think that's where we've lost. And maybe this would be a good podcast topic for later on. You know, we've lost what natural is. I sometimes when I'm walking even up and down the aisles of a homeschool convention, or I listen to other young moms, they talk about things like, even Catherine last night was over at our house, and she was talking about how that she said, oh, Dad, you should do a workshop on what to do before they go to before they get into homeschooling. Like, you know, like when they're three. And I'm like,
you've not listened to anything?
Because we need a, and she says, oh, no, there's this person who has this thing, this kind of curriculum for preschool. And I'm thinking, you just play. What do you have? Need rules for playing? But I feel like that's kind of what we've done. Not only do we need rules for playing, but now we need to have someone to tell us when the graduation mark is, when what we're supposed to do at that point. And I just think it does whatever feels natural, I think, is pretty close to probably being right. Mm-hmm. Now you can ask your question, Ben, or whatever you want.
No, I was going to just throw out a couple things, like, what do you think about, like, rent after, you know, I mean, I know that some people say, and again, there's a right answer on any of these things, but this is, you know, you've had multiple grown kids now. I mean, you have man, what is it? Six over 20 now at this point. So what do you, you know,
we just had our last, we all are, every,
yeah,
now everybody has a driver's license.
Yeah, that's just wild. Shocking. Oof. So, but what's your, you know, your thought on as to that?
I think you shouldn't charge rent before they're in fourth grade, you know, but then you should start accumulating. You can just sock them with a bill at the end of your, when they leave your house, say, can you, you owe me back pay for 18 years? Yeah, that would be $43,000.
What do you think? So then what do you think?
I know
about,
what you're asking. I know what you're
yeah,
asking.
Yeah. Yeah. Like how much also, I guess, really more, you know, you meant to like contribute. I mean, what do you think some of those expectations should be, I guess, would be a better way of putting it.
You know, and we'll come back to the rent question because I think it's a great question. I think everybody should contribute. Our family is a family. You know, I mean, our kids now, when they go out on the road with me, and they were just, you know, I'm taking my two youngest, they expect to be paid, you know, the minimum wage in California, $20 yeah. an hour. And I'm like, Ben, I don't think got paid, really. I think we may have given $5 until...
I got $1 an hour if I helped with family man stuff.
You know, but my thinking even then was, and I told it would tell their mom, you know, we were dirt poor. We're a team. We work together as a team. We celebrate as a team, but you know, they're expected to contribute. And so I do know parents whose kids have graduated and they charge them rent. We've never done that, because we thought they could really use their money a lot wiser somewhere else. You know, like I'm buying expensive tennis shoes and,
trying to buy a Rolex with the graduation money, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Which I'm totally okay with actually. But they're contributors. They're contributor. They cut our grass. They do other things. You know, I have a 23-year-old son who, I mean, I should be paying him for what he does. And he's always like, no, Dad, you know, no, you don't need to do that. He'd pay his own meals, but he's just a contributor. And I want to reward him for that. I want home to be the best place for whatever God has for him next. You know, so, you know, and really, if one of my kids was 40 and wanted to be at home, I don't know if I see a problem with that. You know, and I mean, again,
as long
we
as
could talk
I
about
do
that.
Think it's a means to an end at that point. Right, I mean, I do right. think, as a, especially as a kid, you know, going in the 18s and a little bit on, it can be a great way to kind of springboard your child into a really strong place. You know, if they can, you know, get their first yeah. job and not have some crazy expenses, you can get really set up well for, you know, life, getting married and all that afterwards. But I do think there's a time, you know, where... I do think socially and also just, you know, it might be okay to, you know, encourage them if that's something they're even interested in and getting their own apartment at a certain point or whatever. But do you think there is an age limit?
Right.
Or you said like 40, but I mean,
nope.
Do you think you would ever encourage
I don't know
it?
If there is an I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of just circumstances. I know there are, you know, people with Down syndrome people and they have, you know, 50-year-old children. You know, I know other people who maybe have it handicapped and they have 50-year-old children staying with them. So I don't know how handicapped you have to be to stay, you know, I just don't know what that right answer is. And again, if I felt like it was best for my son or daughter to be kicked out, I would kick them out, you know, because it's just, again, you do as a parent, my dad always used to say, you do what's the best interest of your child.
Right.
And I think that's what that would be what was guiding me, you know.
Well, and I think there's part of it is there's this whole thing is like once you're 18, you know, you're legally an adult, you know, and at least in the U.S. in terms of some areas, not everything. But I mean, so how much do you think you should treat them or how do you know, make those decisions? Because again, graduation is not the be all end all, but we're kind of talking that age range as a whole.
Right.
Do you think, you know, as before you kind of start, you know, allowing them to say like, okay, whatever decision you want to make, are you still trying to help input, you know, like how do you handle that that balance of, yes, they do get to make their own decisions to some extent, but at the same time, they're not a full grown person that just understands, has any wisdom. You can't control them completely, but you know, they're still obviously, you're still their parent. So,
Well, we know lots of examples where parents have trouble releasing them as children,
right.
You know, and so then they're constantly controlling all the little things, you know, and really even into adulthood, and after they're married, they're still offering, well, I think you ought to consider this. And, you know, and I think there are just times where you can trust God to allow your kids to fail in lots of areas, but you can still input. You know, I still like it. My daughter Maggie, who's 20, we had this conversation on the way home from the airport from Spokane just the other day, and she's like, I don't know why everybody says exactly how you're questioning, Ben, like why they think that at 18 or 20 that they live in their house, that they get to do everything they want to do. You know, sometimes it's okay, you know, like I know Ben before he got married, you know, and you were engaged, and we basically said, hey, if you could be in at midnight, we'd really appreciate it. You know, not because, but it was just for our, so we could go to bed, you know, without having to worry, you know, if it was 1 o'clock, we knew there was a problem somewhere. And, you know, and it was just courtesy. It wasn't like we were controlling, you know, and now my 14-year-old, like, what time did you guys get in last night, you know, with their brothers? They're all playing volleyball till 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, well, you know, that's a school night. Oh, yeah, right. So things change a little bit along the way.
Yeah.
But here's what I think, though, Ben, and maybe you could speak to this. I think we've followed the wrong model where we say 18 is the time for moving on. I you know, only because like the model that I grew up with was basically, because everybody did this. You went to high school, and then the following fall when school would start, you went to college. That was just, you know, and I wish someone would break that mold a little bit and say, okay, at the end of high school, let's not be in a hurry to go on to the next step. You know, maybe you need a year or two till you figured out some things before you go off on to some higher learning or another job. Maybe it's okay at 18 not to have everything figured out and training still takes place. You know, maybe it's a different kind of training. Maybe you're not doing history anymore, but maybe you have a job and you're working and you're learning things and for a year or two until you figure out what, hey, I really like this direction or I don't like this direction. I think we've kind of messed things up. And sometimes homeschoolers, I think, mess it up even a little more because they go, well, instead of graduating from high school at 18, I'll graduate from high school at 15, you know, and then what do? You know, right. So I don't know.
I do think, you know, there needs to be respect there. Cause I mean, at those older ages, I think that's, it is important to have that built up, which I think homeschooling is so incredibly good at, is, you know, you have that built up, that relationship with them. And I think a lot of people where you see, you know, in the movies and Friends and stuff like that, it's because they don't have a real relationship with their parents, I would say. You know, I mean, they're gone all the time. They're, you know, they're both, you know, parents might work, they're in school, they're in after curriculum, all that kind of stuff. And so when their parents are all of a sudden cracking down or something, and as they're a later teen, it can feel, I think, like that's not there. But, you know, despite dad sounding like, that he doesn't want any of his kids to ever leave, I would say actually most of us, I would say we're pretty independent overall. I mean, I think the kids have been really good about, you know, pursuing things, and all your kids have tried, you know, things on their own and worked hard, and you've not really had anything in that, really issues with just like, oh, now I've got to force my kid to actually get up off the couch other than Maggie. But, you know, no, I'm just kidding. But the overall, I think it's obviously worked out, even though it can sometimes seem like you're saying, just keep the kids in forever. It works if you are raising them to.
Again, I think your words, Ben, that it's natural.
Right.
I mean, like I'm a landscaper, you know, before I was a pastor, before I did this, I was a landscaper. You know, I plant some seeds in a little pot. I had a hedge apple. I took all the seeds. I saved them for a year. I planted them with Renly in a little bucket. I watered them. They grew up. And, you know, and Renly's like, well, what are you going to do with all those? I'm like, I'm going to transplant here. And then when they're ready And then I'm still going to let some of them, and then I'm going to trim off some of them when it's time. So I just have that one really strong thing. Well, you know, I was just checking on them today, and they're growing great, you know. And but it's all like a natural progression. And if I had just taken the seeds and thrown them out in the woods, they might have grown, but they probably, right. You know, or if I put them out to like seedlings now, if you plant marigolds and you put them out in the cold to before May 15th here in Indiana, before that, you'll lose them. And I think it just feels like that's what homeschooling does. You're just training them. And then when you see that they're ready to fly, you help them fly. You might have to push them a little bit. You might have to leave them in a little bit, let them go a little longer before they're ready to fly. But when they are, then they're ready and then they're strong. And I think the outcome of disaster and falling to the ground, plummeting to death is lessened.
Well, real quick here, I think that's a good time to say thank you to Teaching Textbooks for helping make the Smiling Homeschooler possible. Our family's been using them for way over a decade at this point, and they're just an amazing curriculum, and it's just gotten better and better over the years. It's super fun. It's engaging. You can do it basically from any internet browser, so it's really easy to access. And your kid can do it on their own. So if you've got a bunch of kids or even just one, it's nice that there's an independent thing that they can work on without having to, you know, step it through every ounce of it. So it's a great math curriculum. They're an amazing company. We really appreciate their support. Go check them out over at teachingtextbooks.com.
Well, we also want to thank Homeschooling Today magazine. And as Ben was already, I just got my issue today for the spring issue for. And, you know, again, if you don't have it, get a homeschool magazine, should go and subscribe right now. I mean, they just have so many great articles. They have Dorinda Wilson. She answers the question, in what ways did your son's education look different from your daughter's education? Kay Chance writes one, The Natural Learning Home for the Love of Lego. You know, Fun with Food by Trish Corlew, you know, 10 Ways to Make It Fun. Just a lot. And of course, then, you know, my clearing the bases, the cleanup batter as an imperfect. What's the title of mine? I'm looking right now. Being an imperfect example, you know, and all these articles just feel so encouraging and so freeing. And they're encouraging to homeschool boldly. So, you should check out their magazine. Again, you can get yours in the mail in just a few days if you subscribe today at homeschoolingtoday.com.
So one of my questions, I guess, was kind of, what do you think some warning signs might be of, hey, I need to push a little bit harder you know, this is not healthy or and then also kind of maybe off of that, you know, how do you think you balance kind of pushing a little bit if needed with, you know, preventing or trying not to you know, have just a constant conflict potentially there?
You know, and that's hard. You know, there's a verse in First Thessalonians where it talks, I think it's First Thessalonians, where it talks about basically rebuking the lazy, warning the idle, and being patient with all men, wherever that is. And I think the only, again, we may have even talked about it in the past. Sometimes those idle and weak and sick, they all look the same, and unless you really know them, you know. And I think you know your kids, because again, it is natural. And if you have a child who might need to be pushed a little bit. I know some kids would never do anything. And we've done that with our kids. Like Maggie, we said, hey, I know you haven't figured out exactly what you like to do, but you need to go get a job. We didn't hound her every single day. We didn't say, you better have a job by Friday or you're going to have to go find a place on your own. No, we want her at home where she's safe to go do all those things. And so we'd encourage her, you know, and she got a job. You know, maybe it's pushing a little like that. Or you know, am I even be in school? And I don't, did we talk about this last week, Ben? I get confused. But, you know, a mom came up to me and said, well, we did talk a little bit. You know, what do we do about a son who, you know, I said they need to do this or they can't graduate. Again, sometimes you do things for them by pushing them a little bit and saying, you know, it's time to move on, son or daughter. And I think you're totally not only within your rights, but that's what parents are supposed to do. You got to be the mom, you got to be the dad, and it's not always very fun, but you might need to do that.
Now, what about if the kid is like, hey, I'm 18, I want to go do all of those things and I want to just leave and all that. Do you think there is any amount where you would say, you would as a parent try to pull back on that? I guess maybe that, again, it's just, is it natural or not? But, or do you think just go ahead and say, well, you know, if that's what you want, you go for it.
I mean, really, it is kind of like eventually, you know, like the prodigal son's father. You know, he said, I want all my money. I want it now, you know, right. And the father said, okay. But then he waited for him and picked up the pieces. I think sometimes as a parent, you have to do that. Again, you can talk with your kids all you want. You can say, hey, you know, do you think that's the best choice? You know, and what if they insist on it and say, well, I'm 18, you can't tell me what to do. You know, maybe part of parenting is saying, okay, here you go.
Yeah. Well, it's tough too. I mean, because, you know, like you mentioned, it's just safer at home. Of course it's safer at home, but that's not really like the goal is not be home to avoid it for all time. The goal is it's safe to strengthen them
prepare.
Or as you said, preparing and growing and all of that. Cause I mean, I think once they are ready and they launch out, they will be stronger and that you won't even have to worry about that. Like, oh, they're just going to freak out at school. That is honestly, or at like college or with friends, that is like probably my biggest, the thing that most saddens me. And also, I think is one of the most common things I see is kids at home doing it all, whatever. They think everything is going great. They send their kid off to college or they send them off to a really rough crowd that they're working with or whatever else. And it's just like all bets are off. They do it all instantly and they just fall apart as a person. And I just think that is the saddest thing in the world because it's just is like clearly they were not internalizing it enough to, you know, have the strength of character to not fall to that instantly, you know, or
they just weren't mature
enough
at that
time. Maybe it's just maturity.
Because again, as you get older, that influence is so much lessened, you know, I mean,
and not just like 18 older, like, I mean, that's
yeah,
probably
not
like the
19,
it,
you know,
yeah.
Right. You know, so, and that's its own podcast, but I would say that, you know, the whole goal of parenting is to release them. So, right. You know, I see some parents do it when they're little kids and they give them too much freedom, too many choices. You know, our kids had almost zero choices, you know, for the longest time. They didn't get to choose when they went to bed. They didn't get to choose what they wanted to watch. They didn't get to choose when they wanted to do school or what they wanted to do. You know, it was all up to them. But as they got older, then you release some, you know. I know some parents and it's a super extreme, but they, you know, I get emails all the time of spouses who, you know, refuse to let their kids do anything because they're constantly trying to control it. You know, they make sure that, you know, this is 20 years old. They're still, you know, making sure they put their whatever, take their bath on the certain night. You know, and it just feels like if your kid wants to be filthy, you let him be filthy, you know, and then you say, hey, you can't live in this house if you're going to be that stinky, you know, or whatever. But there are some things for our kids, you know, if they want their hair a little different than you like it, you may not like it. But at a certain age, you release some of that, even though a 13-year-old kid may not get that choice. He may have to have your style of haircut because that's what you've chosen.
Yeah. And I do think with homeschooling, you know, people already think that you're that, you know, the homeschoolers are all the kind that will never let their kids cross the street, you know, because they're so controlling. I hear that a lot, that kind of idea. But and I do think that's totally just bogus. 99% of the time, that's not the case. But I do think, you know, because you are choosing to homeschool your kids because you do believe that, you know, what's best more than a teacher does and all of that, that there is a little bit more of, you know, you're involved more in your child's life than you would be otherwise. And so I do think it can be easy to just keep holding, you know, being that involved at all times. And it's not that like pulling out, but I in my own life, I did see as I got older, my parents were allowing more and more of those decisions to be made by me and less every input. But there are definitely are people close to me that was not the case. And they, you know, kept holding on and holding on. And it caused, you know, some some anger between them and the kids for a while. And, but, you know, but because they still built relationship and that was there, a lot of them, it worked out and they, you know, it ended up being fine in the end. But I do think that is.
Well, and like for Ben, you know, now that he's married and has four kids, we now let him watch PG movies.
Right. Yeah, it's great. but you know what?
Lion King. He could not watch that until he had his third kid.
Who? Which one? Lion King?
The Lion King, the animated one.
Totally.
It was scary.
Yeah, it was. Still haven't seen the scary part of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, but you know. No, I'm just kidding. But all right, well, let's call it a night there if you want to close us out. And yeah, we'll finish there.
Again, you know, moms, I know you're under so much pressure, so many ways, you know, and maybe you listen to your husband a little bit, because sometimes husbands are a little less stressed about this, that, you know, and when your husband says, you know, it's okay, we need to let him or her choose, maybe you just go, oh, you're right. And just don't stress it. It's going to come along. It's going to be obvious. And then when you see you need to push or to pull or whatever, you know, if it's not in direct conflict with something God would say, just follow that, you know, and that will make you smile.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. We really appreciate you being here and being part of the Smiling Homeschooler. But again, thank you to Teaching Textbooks for making it all possible. Have a great week. We should be back next week, I think, with another live episode. So join us then. And don't forget to smile. Thanks for joining us for another episode. As always, thank you to Teaching Textbooks for making the Smiling Homeschooler possible. Go check out a free trial over at teachingtextbooks.com. But have a great week, and don't forget to smile.